I want to begin by just telling you a little story, and it kind of goes like this. Well, the story begins on August 27th, 1910. And on August 27th, 1910, a baby girl named Agnes was born to this well-to-do contractor, Nikolaya Andondra, his wife, in Sogi, Yugoslavia. When her parents, just picture this, because many of us are parents here today, and we've done this, when they look down on their on this new baby's life, on this new life that just come into their family, their hearts and their minds really just must have overflowed with love and expectations for this child. You know, I can say these are the things that all parents feel when they hold that brand new baby in their arms. The thoughts and the feelings of the parents for this child would indeed come true, that this girl would indeed one day achieve greatness, but not the way her parents thought she would. They dreamed of sending Agnes to the very best universities that Europe had to offer, but before Agnes would reach her eighth birthday, her father would be dead, the family would be penniless, and dreams of greatness seemingly were being washed away. After her father's death, Agnes and her mother began attending church faithfully, and then over the next 10 years just proved to be this time of scratching out existence, a time of survival. And then around her 18th birthday, Agnes began to hear stories of missionary life and service. And she began to hear that small, still voice of God that whispered in her ear, "Agnes, come and follow me." In 1928, with that call in her heart and in her mind, and without any fear or even hesitation, Agnes left her home. Agnes left her siblings. She left her mother, and she went to Ireland, and she joined the Sister of Laredo Convent in Dublin, Ireland. And she went there because she was going to follow the call that God had placed on her life. And it was a call that set her on a course to greatness. It was a call that Mother Teresa would follow for the next 69 years of her life. And so when God called Mother Teresa, I can't help but postulate that the call that God gave her differs very little from the call that God places in the life of most Christians. Did you hear what I said? I think that's important. God places a call in the life of, really I should say, all Christians. And that call that he has placed in my life or your life really differs very little from that of Mother Teresa. You see, because Jesus calls all of us to greatness, but here's the thing is we got to be faithful and we got to follow. So as we study this text this morning, it's good to understand that Dr. Luke has set us on a road to Jerusalem one final time with Jesus Christ. We read there, as the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely sets out for Jerusalem. Now, that word is interesting, resolutely. You know, it's a great word, but you know, really, we have just few opportunities to use it properly in a sentence. But you could almost say resolutely means he set his countenance in stone and said, "This is where I'm going, and this is what I'm going to do." And there wasn't anything that was going to stop him from going up to Jerusalem. So as he was headed there, and he was going up that path, and to that first Easter, I want us to understand that the path that Jesus was walking on was a path to greatness. I'm telling you today, I'm convinced that we are called to follow that path. And when we do, we discover a few things. I'm going to share them with you today. That true greatness, True greatness is shown in sacrifice. And now I know, Rebecca and Ellen, you guys don't know anything about that right now, so you need to listen, okay? All right? I'm kidding, of course. True greatness is shown in sacrifice. The scripture says this, as they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I'll follow you wherever to go. But Jesus replied, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. And he said to another man, follow me. But he replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. And I kind of alluded to it a few moments ago that at first our passage seems a bit disturbing. And I think that as we think about Jesus, you know, and the things that we have heard, you know, since we're little kids and the things that we've been taught about Jesus, it just seems like, boy, this is pretty out of character for our Lord, because he seems to be discouraging to these people, to these would-be followers. But, you know, I want us to think together this morning a little deeper about it and in the proper context. And when we do that, we begin to sense that, well, you see, Jesus saw through these guys. I want you to understand something. Jesus intimately knows who each one of us are. Jesus really knows what's in the heart and in the minds of people, of men and of women. You see, Jesus saw through these guys. He understood who they were. And he just peeled all that away and got right down to their true motives and to the true selves. So I want us to look at the first person. We're going to work through these guys. The text says that he comes up to Jesus and he makes the first move in saying, I will follow you anywhere. Well, we got to think about this for a moment. Why would he do that? What was his motivation? Well, I think perhaps he was looking for greatness. You see, maybe this guy felt that if he attached himself to Jesus, now remember, keep in mind, when he was meeting Jesus and what he thought about Jesus most likely was that here was this new military captain that was going to come and overthrow the Roman tyrant, see? He thought he was a military Messiah, I believe, not a spiritual Messiah. And maybe he was thinking this, I don't know, that he would be on the ground floor of a great new kingdom. Maybe he thought that he would, you know, be an admiral or to be a captain or a general or something in Jesus' new army and fame and fortune, and that's not good. Fame and fortune would follow him wherever he went. Maybe he felt that he could get all of those things, right, without putting forth a whole lot of effort. I don't know for sure. But you see, Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and there was work to be done, but the plan was already laid out, and success and true greatness were at hand, and this guy might have said, hey, I know this is going to happen, and it would require little sacrifice, if any, on this guy's part. But you see, remember I said Jesus intimately knows who each one of us are. And he saw through this guy. And he understood his motive. So he tells him that to follow him would require a lot. The Message Bible says it like this. On the road, someone asked if he could go along. I'll go with you wherever, he said. And Jesus was curt. Are you ready to rough it? Because we're not staying at the best inns, you know. Friends, true greatness, I'm telling you, really is born out in sacrifice. And this man was not yet ready to sacrifice anything, let alone everything. You see, he wanted true greatness, but he wanted it at little cost. My hero, Diedrich Bonhoeffer, would call that cheap grace is what he was looking for. Grace without the cross. Grace without forgiveness. Grace without repentance is the easy way. But grace True grace is expensive. For he did not count, God did not count his son too special to not give up. And you might say, okay, I'm hearing what you're saying, Brother Bud, but how do you really know all this? Well, I'll just say it kind of like this. It's right there in the scripture. It's in the silence. You never hear another thing about this guy. And this verse then just begins with Jesus talking to another man. And I also think that it is important to keep in mind that Jesus never called him. See? He never gave Jesus the chance. Friends, I want us to understand something today, that we are to seek God, but God is also seeking us. You see, this path to eternal life is a two-way path. Jesus and us are walking that road toward each other. When we say, I will follow, this is what's important. When we say, I will follow you wherever you want me to go, we have to go where God has called us to go, not to where we want to go. You see, true greatness is shown in sacrifice, and it means picking up the cross of Christ and following him to the Calvary of his choosing, not your own. Mother Teresa, I think, wonderfully understood this. Perhaps better than anyone, maybe, but the Apostle Paul and Jesus himself. And if you know anything about Mother Teresa's life, you know that she gave up a life of her own choosing when she began her work with the street people of Calcutta. You know, she gave up a good teaching position. She gave up her home. She gave up the promise of a steady meal. And she gave up her safety. And she sacrificed everything that we, right now, today, take for granted because God had called her to greatness. And she followed God all the way to heaven. True greatness is born out of sacrifice. True greatness also means that we give Jesus top priority in our lives. Scripture says he said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. And then Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Can you go back? You're quite a ways ahead. There we go. Thank you. Again, on the surface, Jesus' answer to this man, it really seems harsh and it seems unwavering. But if we dig in there a little bit deeper, we begin to see why Jesus answered this guy like he did. For if this man's father were already dead and in need of burial, why was he just there standing along the road waiting for Jesus to come by? What this guy was really saying to Jesus, I believe, is this: I will come follow you after my father has died. Well, whether that be tomorrow or whether that be 5 years from now. But I think it's pretty clear that he is clear that he's not going to follow Jesus until dear old dad is dead. And then he's saying, have no fear, Jesus. I'll be there for you. See, I want you to understand something. When he calls us to true greatness, and true greatness means that we make Jesus the top priority of our lives. You see, Jesus was currently on his way to Calvary. Time was short. You know, Jesus was standing in the shadow of the cross, and this guy had a chance to take part of in true greatness. Jesus was on the road to an act that would literally, right, split time in two. You know, before the cross, we referred to that as, you know, what, before the common era, or, you know, BCE or BC before Christ. But think about this. After the cross, it's Anno Domini, which means year of our Lord. You're living in the year of our Lord. And that's pretty impressive. So these men, if we stop and think about it here for just a moment, could have been part of the greatest event in history. Instead, they are just a bump on the road to what could have been in their lives. So today, I'm just saying to us today, if we haven't already, let's make Jesus the top priority in our lives. You see, true greatness begins with following Jesus with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. You see, God has great things in store for you. I believe it. All He asks is that you make Him number one, that you give Him your full attention, to go where He calls you to go. And Jesus then, not the world around you, not the stuff that you can accumulate, but then Jesus will make your life complete. It sounds hard, and maybe somebody here today is thinking, well, that just sounds a bit pie in the sky. But not really. It's really not. For when you surrender to Jesus, you make Him top priority, life becomes different, loved ones. When we make Jesus top priority in our life, do you know what our lives go from? They go from BCE, from BC, before Christ, to the year of our Lord. You have the potential to split time in two in your life when you say, yes, Lord, yes, I need You to be the Lord of my life. On December 1995, God split time in two for this man's life. In the living room of our little house on Bentley Lake Avenue in Pinckney, Michigan. Went from Bud Leach, reprobate, to Bud Leach, child of the living God. Have you allowed God to split your time, your life in two? Man, before you leave here today, I would just suggest thinking about it. Got a little bit more to go. I thought, I know I fooled you. You probably thought I was done. But I'm not. So I'm going to ask you a few questions. Is Jesus talking to you today? Is Jesus asking something of you today? Is God asking something of you, but yet you know He's doing it, but you really haven't been listening? You've kind of been blocking Him out. You've turned your ear off in that direction. Well, I'm telling you something. I believe today is the day to lend your heart to Jesus. Today is the day to open your mind to Jesus. And today is the day to tune your ears to the great I Am. And finally, true greatness means that we'll follow Jesus completely and without delay. Verses 61 and 62 say this. Still another said, I will follow You, Lord. But first, let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow looks back and is fit for service in the kingdom of heaven. Now, I find what Jesus says right here particularly interesting. You see, at first reading, I got the impression that Jesus was in a way attacking family life. But the more I thought about it and prayed about it, that thought right there, that thought just didn't scan really. Because as I've read the New Testament, I understand that Jesus has a lot to say concerning the importance of a strong family. You see, I don't think that this guy's request was out of line. After all, the prophet Elisha asked the same thing from Elijah. And listen to the 20th verse of the 19th chapter of 1 Kings. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, he said, and then I will come with you. Well, go back, Elijah replied. Now think with me, if you would, just for a moment. Let's begin to crack this open, and say, what is the deal or what's really going on here? And I got to thinking this week that, well, maybe the issue really wasn't about his family. Maybe the issue going on here really was within this guy's heart and mind. Maybe, just maybe, remember I said Jesus knows everything about us? He knows who we are. He knows our thoughts, our inmost thoughts. I don't know, maybe Jesus caught a look in this guy's eye, or there was something about his body language that says, I want to go, but You know, I got it pretty good here. I got a safe life here. Man, we have three square meals a day here. And I got to thinking that maybe he truly wanted to go, but perhaps his life was so bound up in the past that he missed out on a future. Friends, true greatness means that we follow Jesus completely and without delay. So think with me about the disciples. Let's wonder together for a moment about the call in their life. And I want to ask, what do we really know about the call of the disciples? It's there in the scripture. You see, because each one was living a normal, traditional, tradition-bound existence. You know, John and James and Peter, they were fishing, they were tending their nets, they were doing the things that they always do, things right along the Sea of Galilee. But when they heard the call to follow Jesus, they immediately left their families, they left their jobs, they dropped everything they were doing and followed after Jesus. Now the writer Luke illustrates this wonderfully in the calling of Matthew, the tax collector. Now think about the tax collector, the dreaded tax collector. What was Jesus even doing talking to a tax collector? But we read this. After this, Jesus went out. Can you go one more? Jesus went out and saw a tax collector's booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him. And Levi got up and left everything and followed him. True greatness means that we follow Jesus completely and without delay. Loved ones, following God is a commitment. Following God is expensive, and it costs God the life of his son. And it also means taking action, immediate action. And I want you to notice with me, Matthew didn't say, hey, wait a minute, that might cost me more than I'm willing to give, or let me go bury my dad, or let me go kiss my mom goodbye. Instead, we read that Levi just left everything and followed Jesus. So I want us to understand today that true greatness does not lay in how much money we make or how big our house is or how famous we are. Rather, true greatness comes from God who lives in the hearts and minds of those who love him. When Mother Teresa left that convent in 1946 to work among the street people, she didn't have greatness on her mind. She just wanted to do the will of God, and this was the only way she knew how to do it. She didn't aspire to greatness, to the greatness that was given to her. Friends, Mother Teresa found true greatness because she sacrificed everything, and she made Jesus top priority of her life, and she got up and left without delay. Friends, the cost of discipleship is great, but the results are life-changing and eternal. So the question for us then this morning is, are we ready for greatness? Is the Potsdam Church of the Nazarene ready for greatness? Are we willing to pay the price and follow Jesus forever? So as we draw closer to Lent and Easter 2020, are we finally ready to say this? It's not about me, but it's all about you, Jesus. Is the cost of discipleship worth it to us here? This morning I ask you to count the cost and to decide. I think you're going to find this. I think you're going to find that you cannot afford to not follow Jesus.